The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, guys. Hey, guys. Listen to me. Listen to me. I need all your eyes. This is what we train for. This is what we work for. This is who we are. We came out and we found a way. We always said it would not be pretty. We'll win the game. We'll come back in here and have a good time and figure out how we can get better. This is what I need. Anybody listen? We need one moment at a time.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Junkyard Dogcast. I'm your host, Jordan Hill. Got the whole crew with us, Kip Adams and Benjamin Wolk, on this Thursday afternoon. Guys, it's been a little while since we've done two episodes a week. You know, it's been a minute, and we'll have more of that once spring practice gets started next week. But we're coming to you with what, honestly, is one of my favorite episodes that we do. We usually do a couple of these during the year. Shout out our guy, Justin Ferguson, from the Auburn Observer, kind of gave me the idea to do these breakout drafts, and this is going to be our spring practice breakout draft. We're going to go through. We are going to draft, I think we decided on 7 players apiece, and we've broken down some of the positions. We'll get into that in a few minutes. Looking for guys that we think are going to really make some noise for the Bulldogs during spring practice. I'll throw this out ahead of time. We had some parameters on the guys we can select. Can't pick anyone who started a game for Georgia last year. Obviously, that allows a lot of guys who contributed, came off the bench. That also allows, as we were discussing just before we started recording, any of Georgia's transfer portal additions. And I'm sure there will be a few of those guys who go off the board and probably go off pretty early. Guys, before we get in to our draft and really jump full force into this, I want to gauge the temperature of both GMs. I'm going to start with Ben. How are we feeling before we start this thing? And what's sort of your mindset as we get ready for this?
Well, because of the parameters that we laid out too, where we're all going to be drafting, you know, one sort of from each position group, I think that it makes it a little bit easier for me to not have to, you know, I feel like last draft, I think I almost took like 4 linebackers back to back to back to back because I felt like that was just such a strong position group. But then I realized when it got around to voting time that everyone was going to say, well, how am I going to vote for a team that has 6 linebackers on it? So, I think I've got a better plan in place than last time around. And I don't have to, because we're not drafting quarterbacks, I don't have to worry about Kip taking Carson Beck right off the board at the very beginning and winning the vote immediately.
Kip made the right decision. I mean, he did what he knew the people would like to see, and it paid off. Kip, what are you thinking? How are you feeling going into this one?
Yeah, I like the Falcons. I've made some attempts off camera to trade up unsuccessfully. I've offered, you know, future picks, a couple players, my 2 Shih Tzus. None of these have gotten me any bites. So, you know, it's a deep draft, but I think it's pretty top heavy. I'm interested to see what these guys do. But, yeah, I'd love to tell you guys I've got my board down, you know, top 50 built out. But I really don't want to lie to any of you guys live on the air. So I'm ready to do this. I don't want to make these two young guys that are my colleagues here look too bad. But also I'm planning on definitely dominating this draft and unbelievable fashion.
Can't wait to see how this one breaks. So as Ben mentioned, we didn't really do this in the past when we've done these drafts, but we have positions we have to fill. It's just when you want to do it over the seven rounds. You've got one running back, one wide receiver, one offensive lineman, one tight end, two from the front seven, which would be the defensive line or either linebacker position, and then one defensive back. And that definitely helps when you get to voting on these teams, because usually it's like two of them have quarterbacks, and that usually that third guy kind of gets the shaft when it comes to getting votes and seeing who has the best team. So the way we're doing the order today is actually going to be the inverse of how we did the fall breakouts draft back in August. So Ben will have the first overall pick. I have the second pick, and Kip has the third and then the fourth pick. So, Ben Wolk is on the clock first with the first overall pick. How are you feeling? Where are you going with this one, Ben?
Well, I was toying a few different ways on both sides of the ball. But, you know, after we had our pregame conversation and Kip questioned whether or not we should be able to have certain transfers that might have started elsewhere, I would be not doing, you know, I would not be doing this competition a service if I did not take Trevor Etienne, almost Travis'd him. At 1-1, I think that of all of the offensive skill players that came in the transfer portal, he's the one that's going to have the most statistical impact on the 2024 season. You know, that there are some receivers that I think that are probably going to get taken here in the too distant future that are also going to have serious impacts. That said, I think he steps into a running back room that isn't as deep as it has been in the past. It doesn't have the returning production that George is necessarily accustomed to having. And I think that he's going to step into that feature role at running back. And I also think, you know, if you have a chance to draft a former Florida guy, the first player to our knowledge that is going to play for Georgia after having played for Florida, taking him 1-1, I think that I have no other choice than to take Trevor Etienne. I'm going to do that all year. I'm going to do it all year.
I promise you the only way I keep it straight in my head is remember that the Jags have a Trevor, and that's Trevor Lawrence.
That's great. So that's great.
Maybe that can help you out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a really good one off the board. I'm trying to decide. It's so tough. I kind of did the same thing that I think Kip did, where you kind of want to let the draft come to you, but then you get in the moment, and I've kind of felt like, you remember that year the Vikings were on the clock and they just didn't turn in a pick and they got skipped? That's sort of what I'm thinking right now. I'm going to go on the defensive front, and I am going to pick, man, this is real tough. All right, I'm going to go with a guy that has played a good bit in the last few years. I think he's got a chance to play a bigger role this time around. I think they may work to get him on the field and see what he can do. Tyrion Ingram Dawkins. I'm going to go at defensive end. I think he's a guy, you know, I've written about this a few days ago when we were going through the positional previews for spring practice, talking about the different guys. You know, to me, the big thing that I am most interested in is what Mykel Williams does. Is he playing a lot of defensive end? Do they stand him up and play him at outside linebacker? I really like what we've seen from Tyrion the last, you know, I think it was the Florida game. He had a big play. He's given flashes. He was hurt to start last season. But, you know, at the top of this draft, you know, there's a lot of freshmen that I think are really talented and may get in the mix. But I want to start with like a veteran guy, a guy that we know that they trust to put out there. So I'm going with TID, going to go on the defensive front and take him with the second overall pick. By doing so, that gives Kip Adams the floor. He's got the next two picks, and let's see what he decides to do.
I like that pick. Georgia needs him to step up big time this season. So they need you to hit on that selection, at least for the fall. For me, You know, I know he's not the first player at this position picked so far, but I think just looking to the spring, and the definition of this is spring breakout players, I think this guy is going to have a larger chance to shine. And since, you know, if we tie in the G-Day game, there's two teams. So the fact that he's not starting, I don't think he's going to have a huge – or he's going to be starting for one of the two teams most likely. So he's going to have a huge opportunity to stand out. And I'm going with Roderick Robinson. I think that, you know, you look at what Trevor Etienne has done the last couple of seasons at Florida and his usage, it kind of lines up with Dejon Edwards. I mean, just a guy that's getting 120, 150 touches so far. So for me, I, you know, looking at Georgia's system and knowing that, you know, maybe that's what he ends up getting. Maybe, you know, he ends up getting like 160 touches for Georgia. That leaves, you know, 130, 140 touches for RB2, assuming that Etienne is that starting running back, which I think we all kind of do. So I just think that Roderick Robinson is set up very well to slide right into Kendall Milton's role on this team. And so I think you always look at Georgia's backfield as kind of being that two-headed monster. That's just what they've kind of always done. I know you can make the case, you know, for other running backs to step in, but I liked what Robinson showed early last season. Whenever Dejon Edwards was hurt, Roderick Robinson came in, scored touchdowns each of those first two games. But then he sprained his ankle, I believe, South Carolina game, and that set him back. But I think that kind of allowed Dejon and Kendall Milton to kind of step into their roles and the leadership roles on the roster and on, you know, and on the offense. But I think right now you look at it, there's no favorites now. Del McGee is gone. So you have Josh Crawford coming in. He's going to give his input. He's going to have his guys. And just based on what we saw from Roderick Robinson before the injury last season, I just think that, you know, he figures to have a huge role. And I think he's going to have every opportunity this spring to kind of showcase what he can do, especially just coming in to that second season. Now, again, I get two picks here, so I'm going back to back. My GM philosophy right now looking at this is position scarcity. I'm looking at, you know, some of these positions, there's a lot of options. Some of them it's like, you know, after you take one or two guys, maybe two guys, it kind of drops off. So with that in mind, my second pick to break out is going to be Lawson Lucky at tight end. It's just another one of those situations where, God, we heard so much about him last spring, and looked like he was going to have that breakout season. And, you know, he had that ankle sprain, had surgery. And so didn't really get a chance to make his way back to complete health. And even whenever Bowers got hurt, you know, basically last season was a wash for Lawson Lucky. But I think that you remember the practices, the scrimmages, all the buzz was just about Lawson Lucky and how this guy is going to make an impact. And I know that Oscar Delp, they're looking to him to kind of step into a key role. They have a transfer tight end in Ben Yurcek, who, you know, he doesn't arrive till after spring practice. So this is the window for Lawson Lucky right now, just to not only just regain his confidence coming off an injury, but just to show this coaching staff he could be a major contributor. So I just think it's a big spring for him, and I expect him to take that opportunity to show everyone why there was a lot of buzz about him this time last year.
I've got to say, I'm a little surprised that the position group that I'm about to go to hasn't been picked yet. And I'm looking at the defensive backfield. There are a lot of young, a lot of good options for Georgia in this space. And there's a couple of guys I'm going back and forth on, and I'll reveal later once this guy goes off the board, the guy I don't take, who I was thinking of. I am going to go with Ellis Robinson. I think that he's a guy that, even though he is a true freshman, I think he's already started to impress people with what he's able to do. I think he's a guy that is stepping in at a position where you understand that there's a real opportunity. I mean, after losing Kamari Lassiter, there's an option. You know, you have Dalen Everett coming back, but nothing's guaranteed really with either position. Just really like what we heard about Ellis Robinson since he got to Georgia in December. I think he's got a chance to put himself in a position to contribute right away, which you don't see with a lot of freshmen. But Ellis Robinson is not that kind of typical freshman who's coming in. He's a really talented guy. I think he's got a very bright future and is going to show it pretty early on. Ben, I'll throw it to you. You now have back-to-back picks. What are you thinking, and where are you going with them?
Yeah, well, I'm surprised Ellis went off the board as early as he did, but I did have him very high on mine. I don't know that I would have taken him next necessarily, but I did want Ellis Robinson on my team. All right, I'm actually surprised he's still on the board at this point. So I'm going to take Damon Wilson, edge rusher. I think that I need somebody in my front seven. I feel like there's probably a lot of front seven options that are about to get taken here on the way back that I'm not going to be able to get any on. So I wanted to make sure to get someone that I think that has the highest upside in that room. I know that he's not the veteran presence that Chaz Chambliss is, but I personally do think that by the end of spring, and especially as we, you know, we get into fall, Damon Wilson will have supplanted himself as the best pass rushing edge rusher, outside linebacker in Chidera Uzodiribe's room. I know, again, that's something that I guess we'll see throughout this spring, but that's sort of what I'm hitching myself to. I think that he's looked really good in a lot of offseason workouts that I've been able to see on video, at least. And then because sort of for the same reason that Kip took one of his picks, I think that I got to take Jaden Riddell, just because I think that he's the best remaining option in terms of breakout star potential in the tight end room. So I want to make sure that I have a really good tight end on my team. I think that Jaden Riddell is someone that, you know, he's already clocked. I think I saw like a 21.7 or something like that on the GPS. Correct me if I'm wrong on that, but just shy of what Brock Bowers ran at one of his top speeds. So a big physical guy that also has a lot of athleticism. I think that Todd Hartley is going to take full advantage of that this spring. So I'm going to go with Damon Wilson and Jaden Riddell.
You guys can bear with me for a moment as I go through our official tally and make sure I mark off the guys that we are drafting. Yeah, you know, it's very quickly, once you look at the parameters that we've got, you know, that you see some scarcity with some of these positions. And you guys have pretty much decided a couple of the players I'm going to have to draft for some of the positions. But I feel okay about some of the options that are still sitting there. And so for my next pick, I'm going to be the first one to take a wide receiver off the board. And I'm going to go get London Humphreys from Vanderbilt. I think he's a guy that, you know, again, when you look at the transfers, it always stands out to me when Georgia goes and gets a guy it played against. And it's so funny to me when I go into our system and look at the photos. The one that I always see of London Humphreys is him standing in the end zone with about three Georgia defenders standing around him like, what the hell just happened? How did he just score on? I think it was like a 49-yard touchdown in that Vanderbilt game. But you know, I think that, you know, when you look at what they've done at wide receiver, especially with the portal this offseason, for the most part, it's a bunch of older guys. But then you got London Humphreys, who was just a freshman this past season. So to me, that says that they saw something really special in him. They understand that they can kind of hitch their wagon to him, not just for 2024, that they can see him being a piece and a key factor going on. And I think it was valuable that he was around for Orange Bowl practices. So this is not going to be his first time practicing with this team. I think London Humphreys is going to be a pretty significant contributor to this team. And I think we are going to hear a good bit about him once we get into spring practice. All right, Kip, back up and two picks looking at you.
Well, I doubled up on offense last time around, so I figure I probably need to do the same on defense now. You know what? I kind of waffle between two of these guys at DB. I think that, you know, everyone's going to maybe gravitate towards the higher ranked player coming out of high school. But for me, I think there's a reason Georgia went and got this guy. So I'm going to go ahead and grab him too. And that's Jake Pope. I just think that, you know, you look at the fact that Georgia was after him coming out of high school. You know, you have to kind of look past the playing time and realize that no one in the country would have been playing ahead of Caleb Downs. I mean, no one. So I get it. You're going to see the guy that played special teams for the Crimson Tide for a couple of years and you know, maybe look at the lower ranking and go, you know, this isn't the guy with the upside. But I think right now he's going to take advantage of spring practice. And I just think that he's got breakout written all over him because there's a safety spot up for grabs, not just a safety spot, but I mean, he's going to cross train at star too. I just don't think you just sit there and go, okay, you know, he's competing with the freshman, with KJ Bolden, with DeMelo Jones, with Ja'Cory Thomas for safety. And if he doesn't get the, you know, there, he's going to be the backup once again. I don't see it that way. They're going to mix him in with star and give him an opportunity to earn a role. And so I just think that from everything I've heard, that, you know, he's been impressive in workouts. I just think that right now, knowing the system and knowing that if we're going to talk about coaches picking favorites, you got Travarius Robinson right there. And I mean, he knows Jake Pope. So he's going to be the guy he's most familiar with, and then vice versa, Jake Pope's going to know what T-Rob's looking for in his DBs. And so I just don't see a scenario where this Georgia staff doesn't go after Jake Pope twice if they don't see something and still see something after seeing the film on him to know that he can play a big role. And at the same time, if we're going breakout, it's got easier to kind of quantify the role he plays if he just lays out like three players in the G-Day game. And I mean, you know, that's one thing he's kind of known for doing, you know, being a hard hitter. And so I just think you have a highlight hit in the G-Day game, and it's an easy trophy for me as far as winning this draft moving forward. Just to go back and look and tell everyone, remember when he had that big hit in the spring game? Yeah, he's a breakout player. So that's my guy. I think there were a couple really good options there that are still left on the board, but I just think as far as the spring's concerned, he's going to make a big move. Again, staying on the defense, I will go front seven with one of my two picks. This one's kind of tough because, again, there's a lot of positions here. But I think, you know, you see Mykel Williams moving to the outside linebacker, and I think they're going to – I don't know how much they're going to show, but I think that kind of knocks all the edge guys down a peg and makes it a little bit tougher to really quantify the impact these guys are going to make. So I'm going to go with a guy Georgia needs to make a big move, and I think it's Jordan Hall. I think that, again, former five-star, he has the potential. They've got some veterans, but they need him to push these guys because you can't just, you know, sit on the guys coming back and think that they're going to be able to make the impact you want. You need some younger guys pushing, and I think that Jordan Hall is really set up well for that. I mean, he played 10 games as a freshman, had 10 tackles. I think he had like four or five tackles in the Tennessee game. And I just think he's a guy that Georgia is going to be looking for to make a bigger impact. I think his offseason workouts are going really well. And I think he's really set up well to have kind of a breakout second season in Athens. And that'll be great news for Georgia if he does.
Yeah, I think you make a good point. They not only want Jordan Hall to do that, but they kind of need him to. They kind of need a younger guy to step up. I think Jordan Hall has a real opportunity to do that. He will be a name to follow as we go through spring. I feel pretty good about where things stand right now as I get ready for my next pick. And I'm going to go to the offensive line. I'm going to go Monroe Freeling. I think he's a guy that the three of us have talked a little bit just getting ready for spring practice. I think Monroe's a guy who has an opportunity to start there at right tackle. I think that you've got a lot of talented offensive linemen and only, you know, five spots that are starting roles up front. And to me, it's going to be a very interesting case between Monroe Freeling and between Xavier Truss with him coming back for another year. There's definitely a world where I see Xavier Truss, you know, being trusted as that veteran guy and letting him start at right tackle. But I was really impressed. I don't know what you guys thought of when Monroe came in that Vanderbilt game. You know, you think a true freshman going out there, you're sort of like, whew, you know, this is going to be a test. He held up. And I think that having an entire year of being at Georgia and being in the weight room and everything that comes with that, I think that's huge. And I feel like it's such a sort of a trope when you talk about college football, especially SEC football, of saying, you know, it takes a while for offensive linemen to be ready to play. You know, they have got to learn. They've got a lot of stuff that they've got to do. I was impressed with year one of Monroe Freeling, and I think he's got a real opportunity to wind up being a starter in year two. Ben, I'm going to give you some direction just before you make these picks. I want you to make your first pick, and after that, we're going to do a quick break, and then we'll come back and do your second pick.
Okay. So for my first pick, you just sort of dictated my pick for me here, because I think that I need to secure my offensive lineman on this turn. And, you know, someone in the comment section just mentioned, Craig Lawson mentioned, you know, Freeling versus Trust. And I think there will be a lot of conversation around what the shakeup of the offensive line looks like. And if Freeling does play right tackle, does that mean Trust moves inside? And what does that mean for the snap shares for all of the various guys in contention for spots? I think that one's, you know, position that I feel like, I don't want to say is locked up, but is sort of the leader in the clubhouse to take over Cedric Van Pran's role, is Jared Wilson. And so I think it's really important for Jared Wilson to have a good year. I think it's important for him to have a good spring from a variety of standpoints. I mean, obviously his play on the field, but I think that there was a leadership role that SVP had that I think is really important. Not to say that Jared Wilson needs to live up to, you know, everything that SVP did on that front, but there's certainly a void left behind there. And I think that he has all of the chops necessary to step into that role. If you listen to what Cedric Van Pran said about Jared Wilson, he spoke as glowingly as anyone has about what he expects from Jared Wilson as his replacement. And so, you know, nobody's guaranteed a starting position necessarily, especially when you haven't started a game for Georgia, but he is somebody that I do think, you know, is going to take on that center role and, you know, for the offense's sake, I think try and replace SVP as well as anybody probably could.
We're going to take a quick break and come back and round out what is left of the spring breakouts draft.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Fellas, looking at this, I think we've got three rounds of the draft left, and I want to go through with each of you and make sure this is what's left. I've kind of been keeping a tally of what positions each of you still need. Ben, I have it that you still have, you still need a receiver, a front seven member, and a defensive back, and Kip, one receiver, one offensive lineman, one member of the front seven. Does that sound correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Ben, you are up with your next pick. Where are you going?
So I don't have to take a DB until my last pick. So I'm torn on which way to go, whether I want to beef up in the front seven or take my receiver. Because Kip needs another receiver, I also don't want to take the guy that Kip doesn't want. I want the guy that Kip wants. So now I'm like, man, what do I got to do? I think I'm going to go receiver, and I'm going to go with another transfer on the offensive side. I'm going to go with Colby Young from Miami. I just think that he brings a presence that Georgia doesn't really have. I know we've talked a little bit about how Ra-Ra Thomas and him have some overlapping traits, but I just think physically – Colby Young brings something to Georgia's receiver room that doesn't exist otherwise in the receiver room. If I'm not mistaken, Lawrence Cager played under James Coley. Would I be correct in that?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of similar prototype there, not just the Miami transfer element of it, though that exists too. I just think that he's someone that has had, you know, James Coley has had success with someone similar to Colby Young in a Georgia offense in the past. I know it's a different time and a slightly different offensive philosophy in some respects to what it once was, but I do think that it's someone that James Coley will have a lot of success with. I think that also is we're talking about spring breakouts. I mean, I know that he's had a really good offseason when it comes to 7-on-7s and passing workouts and things like that. I know he's looked really sharp there, but I think when the pads come on too, the physicality is really going to show up.
Like that pick a lot. I was kind of between him and London Humphreys when I went to make that pick at receiver a little earlier. I am going back to the front seven. I want to give Ben a shout out there. His strategy with defensive back, I went through and saw what positions I could wait on, since both of you guys have, you know, we've each had different strategies when putting this team together. I'm going back to the front seven. I'm sort of, you know, always a little hesitant to load up on freshmen because you know that there's going to be times that you hear their position coach or Kirby over the microphone, you know, just blessing them out for all of the team to hear. But there are some really special freshmen in this team and in this signing class. So for the front seven, I'm going with Joseph Jonah and Jonye. I think he's a guy that has made his mark very early on. I'll never forget at Orange Bowl practice, just watching, you know, the team go through. And, you know, one of the things, this is kind of a peek behind the curtain for fans listening to this, you know, with some of these practices late in the year, when they add those freshmen in, you know, they don't hand us a roster and say, hey, these are all the new guys. No, you're just out there watching and trying to kind of get a look at their face and maybe looking at their position group and saying, okay, I think this is this guy. Joseph Jonah Ajanye went through and it was like, oh, that's Joseph Jonah Ajanye. Like, you didn't have to ask anyone. You didn't have to listen to hear if the position coach said his name. Like, it was very clear. And that dude just looks like a monster. And again, I don't know that he's going to play right away. I'm not, you know, expecting him to just be a freshman All-American. But he strikes me as someone that we're going to talk to some of these veteran offensive linemen during interviews and say, hey, who's sort of standing out against, you know, the younger guys y'all are lining up against? I would not be surprised at all if someone says Joseph Jonah Ajanye is giving us everything we can handle.
I like it. I like that pick. You know what? I'm going with my front seven because, as you guys said, there's a couple positions where I kind of already know who I'm going with at this point. So I'm going to go with Gabe Harris, a guy that, you know, you start looking at the roles that are going to be placed on guys. We mentioned Michael Williams making that move to outside linebacker. that means at worst that, you know, they need a backup to, you know, Ingram Dawkins at defensive end. And I'm thinking, well, man, he struggled to stay healthy last season. So they moved Gabe Harris inside the defensive end. He came in at 243 pounds, but still came in there and played early in the SEC championship game against Alabama. And that kind of like opened my eyes, like, all right, you know, this guy's role, they think a lot of him. That was kind of an important game. And he was out there on the field. I think going into year two, knowing that I've heard he's going to be pushing close to 260 pounds, which is right kind of where they want him to be at 6'4". You know, when put on double-digit pounds of muscle, you get the, you know, time in that strength program. I think that the offseason has been really, really good for him so far. And I just think that he's a guy that they're going to increase his role and give an opportunity to come in there and potentially start this season. Because like I said, you know, when Ingram Dawkins is on the field, he's disruptive. It's just about keeping him on the field. And I just think that you saw Gabe Harris get after Jalen Milroe. And I mean, they might end up having to play, you know, they're going to have that same mentality whenever they come to Tuscaloosa. So I just think that, the coaches see a lot in him, and there's just not a better opportunity for him to show that they were right about him after a full year on campus than this spring. And so I just think that Gabe Harris is going to be set up for a real big breakout spring and probably breakout season overall. I just think that this defensive line hasn't really got back to the 2021-2022 levels, and that's going to be – Kirby Smart mentioned himself in the interview with Josh Pate. I mean, the line of scrimmage, they have to get better back to where they were. And I just think a guy like Gabe Harris has a chance to give him that stop, that type of play, that high level play. All right. So for my next pick, I'm going to go wide receiver. Ben helped make my decision for me. I mean, this guy kind of already had his breakout game, but I'm just ready to see it continue. It's Anthony Evans. I mean, we are talking about a guy that when he got in the field against Florida State and again, you know, against Alabama, everyone was like, all right, where's this guy been? You know, why weren't they using him before? You know, you had guys banged up and you have this freshman who's one of the most explosive players on the team. And he goes out there and looks outstanding. And I just think that you have Ladd McConkey going on to the NFL. This guy has an opportunity to step right into that role. You don't know how many games or when you're going to have Arian Smith show up. So I just think the opportunity is there for him to come out there and not just make an impact at punt return, which, I mean, obviously he showed he can do that. But I just think he's got a chance to go out there and make some plays at wide receiver. Marcus Rosemejack Saint mentioned him at the combine as being a guy that he thinks is going to really, I think he said he's going to be a problem. And I believe him. I just think this guy has a chance to get a much bigger role. And honestly, you know how many targets are going to be available now, not just Marcus Rose, I mean, not just Ladd McConkey, that Brock Bowers guy's in the NFL now. So why not just convince Bobo, hey, let's go 4 and 5 wide. You know, I'm a guy that, you know, don't use me as a decoy, you know, use me as a playmaker. And so I just think he's showed that he's a guy that's going to continue to develop, be explosive, and in the spring probably cause a lot of issues for these young cornerbacks as they're trying to earn playing time.
Hypothetically speaking, Kip, if Colby Young and Anthony Evans had both been on the board together at the same time and you were trying to decide which receiver Kip wanted, which receiver would you have wanted at that time?
I took the number one receiver on my board.
Yeah,
without hesitation. Course, I mean, again, I just think that this is the guy that fans are going to see. They're not going to see, you know, the back shoulder throw. We've seen that before. Fans want to see guys stretching the field vertically. Carson Beck showing off his arm. You know, I think not just Carson Beck. I mean, you just look at the quarterbacks on the roster. These are guys that, again, they want to come in and show that, you know, they can throw the long ball because they know that's, I mean, you want to pull that out of your arsenal whenever you can. And if anyone is able to kind of take advantage of that, it is Anthony Evans. So I just think that, again, it was an easy choice for me. When Ryan Puglisi comes in there on G-Day and throws that 74-yard bomb, Anthony Evans brings it down. You know, I'll have my hand up in the air like Lane Kiffin, like as soon as the ball is in the air, and I'll just walk away as the runaway winner of this draft. But again, you know, Colby was on the board. I really like him as a player. Again, if I had traded down a couple spots, you know, he would have been in the mix. But yeah. I got wide receiver one on my board.
Also, Craig, that's enough out of you. All right, I don't need live feedback. I don't need live feedback on how bad Kip's beating me in this draft.
For those listening, Craig Lawson commented, got to go Evans over Young. So, we're going through it. But I don't want to, you know, just pat Kip on the back. But, like, I really like that Anthony Evans pick. He was someone I was kind of going back and forth with. And Kip mentioned Marcus Rosemead-Jackson talking about him at the Combine. I talked to Marcus for a little bit before the Orange Bowl about him just because that was coming off of that SEC championship game where Anthony goes out there and has a huge punt return that kind of gave Georgia late life. And, you know, Marcus was basically like, just keep an eye out. Like, next year you're going to see that this guy's really, really good. And I seem to remember Ladd McConkey echoing, you know, something very similar. So I don't want to give you credit, but you deserve it. I think this is that me and Ben, you know, it's going to be one of those things where the GMs are looking later, like, and how do we let this guy fall to the fifth round? Like, what are we doing? So that one, I got to give Kip credit for that one. So with the first pick, let's see, I guess this is toward the end of the fifth round. So I am going to fill my need at running back. I'm going to go get Andrew Paul. And I think it's a situation when you look at sort of what Andrew's been through. You know, he was having a pretty good fall camp as a true freshman, winds up getting hurt, winds up missing that season, comes through last year and is at full health. But as Kirby mentioned several different times, you know, he might as well be a true freshman because he didn't get to go through all this last year. And I think you saw flashes. He didn't get a lot of playing time. But I think you look at the running back room now, one, there's seven scholarship guys, and it feels like, you know, everyone's sort of fighting behind Trevor Etienne, I believe, to be that, you know, I think Trevor will be the lead back and everyone else is sort of competing behind them. But it's sort of a new start for that whole room, including Andrew Paul. I think he's got an opportunity to impress, to show Josh Crawford and really the rest of the staff that, you know, don't write me off. Don't decide that just because I haven't done a ton through 2 years that I'm not an SEC caliber back. I think he's a guy that's got a lot of talent. I think he's a guy that has a chance to make an impact. And to me, you know, Kip did a good job with the Anthony Evans pick of thinking about G-Day. And a big part of G-Day, you're going to see those backs get a lot of work. You know, I think about last year, Roderick Robinson, who was fresh, you know, they were pretty banged up at running back, and he ran the ball quite a bit. I can see that situation playing out for Andrew Paul. I think he's got a chance to show that he belongs and that he can have a legitimate role on this offense this fall.
Is that to me?
That's to you. You got back to back.
Got lost in the snake.
I know it gets confusing, but back to back for you, buddy.
All right. These will be my last two, right?
Yep. Let's see. That sounds right.
All right. So yeah. I'm torn between two guys in the front seven. I think because I've taken a couple transfers already, I don't want to take another transfer, not because I'm anti-transfer. I just don't want to be a team completely filled with transfers. I think you got to have a transfer to high school quota and on your team. So I'm going to go a guy that actually was pretty productive toward the end of last season, had a role in the SEC championship game, but I think is going to, you know, for much of the same reasons that Kip took Jordan Hall, who I would have loved to have on my team as well. Someone that I think Georgia needs to really take that next step. And I'm going to go with Christian Miller. He had flashes at times last season. I think that when it comes to just the wiring that he has, he's someone that I think has the ability to take that next step. So, you know, for me, you know, he's someone that has already shown signs early on, but if he has the ability to, you know, really be one of those interior defensive linemen that dominates up front on a consistent basis, Georgia has a chance to be really, really good this year. I think that, you know, again, for a lot of the same reasons that Kip said, Georgia really needs Jordan Hall to be good this year. I think the same can be said for Christian Miller. And so that's going to be my other front seven pick. And then on the defensive back, I'll be honest, Kip, I didn't think you were going to take Jake Pope. I thought you were going to take one of the younger corners. I was going to end up getting Jake Pope with the last pick of the draft. I was going to be real happy about that because I think there's a good shot that he's the other safety lined up alongside Malachi Starks. But I'm going to go with someone that kind of broke out in the last game that we saw, Daniel Harris. You know, I whenever I talk to Georgia fans, I think that one of the questions that I get most often, well, I'd say the number one question I get is, where's Julian Lewis going to college? The second most question that I probably get is, you know, how about Daniel Harris, like 6'3 corner? For whatever reason, people are just fascinated by the guy. And so I think that he's someone that we saw in the Florida State game, has a lot of potential. You know, there were a chance that he was maybe not going to still be on the roster. So there's, you know, maybe a potential transfer risk there in taking him on my team. But also what I'll say more importantly is Georgia really wanted to hold on to him. I mean, it's someone that flirted with the transfer portal and Georgia made sure did not happen. And I think that whenever that is the case, there's a really strong reason that Georgia had to want to secure them and have them on the roster. I think it'll be interesting to see. You know, I think everyone thinks that Dalen Everett is the shoe-in for one cornerback spot. But I think that Dalen Everett, Julian Humphrey, Daniel Harris, and then Ellis Robinson are all really in position to get legitimate reps at corner. And I think that Daniel Harris, just from a, you know, again, length standpoint, there's not many other guys like him in that room. And I think, you know, for that reason, I'm going to take him over some of the other options that are left on the board at DB.
I think you got a lot of value out of that pick, Ben, because when I picked Ellis Robinson, and that was pretty early in the draft, that was who I was going back and forth with, was Ellis or Daniel, who's been there a little bit longer. And he's another guy I just want to point out. We watched him during the Orange Bowl practices. I mean, you just look at him. He is a big dude at cornerback. And again, I will, you know, don't want to sway any voters because my team is still better than both of y'all's combined. But I really like that pick. I think that that is a pick that you're going to look very smart for making that pick when it's all said and done.
I feel way better about my seven than I felt about my five at the end of the last year's draft.
That's
fall draft.
That's just how it always breaks. I think that's just how it goes. All right, so Ben's pick of Daniel Harris was the first of the final round of this draft. I'm up next. I've got a tight end. I'm going to go with Pierce Spurlin. He's a guy that, you know, didn't really play a lot of tight end in high school. He was a bigger receiver. Georgia looked at him and his body type and said, hey, we want to get you in and put you at tight end. He's a guy that dealt with a little bit of injury last year, but he was impressive at times. He looked pretty good. I believe it was in the Orange Bowl. He had a big catch. So there's a lot of competition at tight end. And as was mentioned earlier, you got Jaden Riddell in there now. They are very, very deep at tight end, but I like Pierce Spurlin. I like what he can be. I think him having a year under his belt of just playing tight end will be very, very beneficial for him. And I would anticipate that he'll get the ball quite a bit in this spring, and we should probably see him at G-Day and see him quite involved. All right, Kip, you have the last pick. You've got to get an offensive lineman. Who are you going with? And let's hear your reasoning.
Yeah, you guys really forced my hand on that one. I knew as soon as you went with that first offensive lineman, I already knew my fate was sealed at that position. So I knew that this was going to be my last pick of the draft. You know, I've kind of gone back and forth because if we're talking spring breakout versus roll this fall, you know, it's kind of two different ways I could go with this. As far as playing time, I think the guy that has the chance to still earn the most playing time this fall is Micah Morris, just because even though Dylan Fairchild started 10 games, even though Pro Football Focus loves his pass protection, I mean, Micah Morris is still the guy you hear so often, you know, not just about how strong he is, but just how impressive he is as an overall player. And so I think, you know, the opportunity is still there for him to push Dylan Fairchild for that left guard spot. And obviously he's going to play a big role this fall, but I'm going like spring breakout. You know what? I'm going to go with the guy that I saw get some run in the Orange Bowl and that at left tackle, and that's Jamal Merriweather. You know, I don't know what his role is going to be. You know, obviously Xavier Truss is going to be competing with Monroe Freeling at right tackle. You know, you have an established left tackle in Ernest Green. So this is kind of an upside play. But you know what? Jamal got some run, like I said, at left tackle in the Orange Bowl. And I just think as far as a guy year one to year two, who's going to have people saying, wow, where did this guy come from? I don't remember, you know, him being this impressive when he got on campus. I think that guy is going to be Jamal Merriweather. And some snaps have opened up now with Chad Lindbergh going in the portal. You know, his role, he slides up a little bit. You know, maybe he's right tackle three. Maybe he's left tackle two. If Xavier Truss is starting at right tackle, Xavier Truss could be the swing tackle at both positions. But at the same time, I think Jamal is going to show this spring that there's a role for him on this football team this season. And I mean, when do you go through the whole season with your entire offensive line staying healthy? So they need him to go and show that they can trust him, especially if he's playing left tackle. I just think that I think if he's the next guy, if Xavier Truss is like locked in at right tackle, they're going to need somebody else at left tackle. And I've heard that, you know, this offseason, Jamal Merriweather has made a lot of progress in the strength and conditioning program. You know, he's got his weight where they want him to. The strength gains he's made is really impressive. And you know, for spring breakout, that's exactly what you want to hear. So he might not, you know, start double-digit games this season, but I think he's going to be a guy, you know, at the end of spring and then the end of the fall, you're going, wow, you know, they really stole one out of Brunswick, which, again, I'm going to pick a Brunswick guy anytime I get a chance because as a Brunswick native, you know, I got to rep Glynn County the best I can. And this guy at a Brunswick high school, you know, 6'6", pushing 300 pounds, I think he's going to carve himself out a pivotal role for Georgia, possibly as the backup left tackle, but definitely as a guy that Georgia is going to be able to depend on whenever they need him.
I'm always on board with a Glynn County shout out. And I was also going to give a name drop real quick on the Brunswick High football coach. Garrett Grady was the offensive coordinator for Stetson Bennett in high school. He was then the offensive coordinator at one point when Warren McClendon was at Brunswick. I was down in Brunswick to see Hezzy Kent, the 2026 tight end, earlier this year. And the first thing that Garrett Grady brought up to me when he saw when we got together was, Jamal, man, he is doing so great. He looks so good. Like, he is so impressed with where Jamal Merriweather is at. I think that's an awesome final pick, and shout out Glynn County as well.
Yeah, you guys have represented them very, very well. I know you guys are both thrilled with that. So that wraps up the draft. And before we get out of here, we'll do a little recap and get all three GM's thoughts on how this thing went. So we're going to start with Ben. Ben, I'm going to run through your team real quick. Running back, you went Trevor Etienne. Front seven, Damon Wilson. Tight end, Jaden Riddell. Offensive lineman, Jared Wilson. Wide receiver, Colby Young. Front seven, Christian Miller. And defensive back, Daniel Harris. Tell me how you feel about this team, and if you could have gotten one other guy that either one of us drafted, who would you have gone with?
Well, I think I like had to cover my mouth from cursing when Kip took Gabe Harris, because I was convinced that Gabe Harris was going to come back on the other end of that one. So that was the one that probably elicited the most, you know, disappointed reaction from me when he was off the board. You know, I feel pretty good about my draft. You know, I understand that there might. I'm curious to know, would you all have taken Etienne 1-1?
He was high on my board. I got to be honest, I hadn't really made up my mind, especially once I realized, okay, you know, I'm not going to have the first pick. So I was like, well, I'm going to see what Ben does. But he would definitely have been someone I would have sat here and debated in my head. What about you, Kip?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, whenever I went with my first two picks, I looked at the positions and kind of – realized, okay, there's only so many guys at these spots. And I mean, that played out that way with me taking Roderick Robinson. I would have taken ETN number one just because he's the one that's also just going in to prove himself. You know, he just left Georgia's rival. And so I think you just you look at Georgia's offense, the ground game is kind of, you know, it's been solid. But you know, they want a guy out there that can be dynamic and break open big plays. He's got a chance to be that guy. So yeah, I felt that way. I mean, that wasn't the one where I was, you know, secretly punching air. Obviously, when the offensive lineman went off the board, and I mean, I wanted to take Jared Wilson, that was the guy that I kind of, you know, regret going for the best overall player and getting Jordan Hall early on, just knowing, okay, this guy is a big-time talent, and, you know, he's got a chance to show out. That position was obviously a lot deeper. So I kind of contradicted myself with that pick. Because then at the same time, I could still look, and Ben thought about taking Xavier McLeod, and then, you know, Raylan Wilson still being on the board. I think year two, like, year for him, I just think he's going to have, you know, a huge opportunity to make a lot of plays. So I just think that's kind of a situation where I wanted him as well. And so I think overall, I like how it broke until I saw an offensive lineman come off the board and realized that the calculus didn't exactly add up for me to get a guy that projects as a starter this spring.
I could be wrong. I think Raylan technically started the Orange Bowl. I don't think we had him as
I was about to panic. When Kip said that, I said, oh, no, Raylan Wilson was a draftable player that I left out there.
Well, one start, we got to go by a returning starter. Like, one start, a spot start does not count as a non-breakout player. Look, he's not even a guy that projects to start this spring if everyone's healthy.
Yeah, so, I don't disagree. I'm just saying I'm almost glad that he wasn't draftable, because if Raylan Wilson just went undrafted, that would have been an indictment on us as GMs, I think.
Well, I thought he was eligible, so I think we should be indicted. I think a singular start does not. I mean, if we go back and look at the two tight end sets, you know, or something else, like, you could have a guy that snuck in a start here or there. And still, I mean, I don't think that counts. He's not a returning starter. You got to have at least five to be out of the conversation. And even then, I think you can argue more. But again, if you're going to counter with him being all freshman, okay. You know, I'll it's not exactly written in the rules. It feels like a gray area. But again, no one picked him. I think someone should have tested it and picked him, because I definitely think this is going to be a huge spring for him, even definitely in an extremely loaded inside linebacker room.
I think that's the situation. I kind of go by the letter of the law, and I was like, no, all right, no one who started. Don't need an excuse. Don't need nothing. I'm going with that. Kip, you talked about who you had wanted that went elsewhere, but how do you feel about your team? Let me run through it real quick for the listeners. Running back, Roderick Robinson. Tight end, Lawson Lucky. Defensive back, Jake Pope. Front seven, Jordan Hall. Front seven, Gabe Harris. Wide receiver, Anthony Evans. And offensive lineman, Jamal Merriweather.
I can safely say without hesitation and full confidence that I drafted seven dogs. Straight dogs from start to finish. You know what? I may have picked Lawson Lucky before, for all I know. So I think, you know, I think it's going to be a huge spring for him. He's going to show out, and a lot of these guys, the upside is there, a good mix. You know, I kind of agree with what Ben said. I agree with Kirby as well. You don't want to overload on transfers. You want to have the bulk of your roster be coming out of high school and in your program. That's what I did. Good mix of, you know, young guys, some guys that I think are going to see their roles increase. And that's kind of the cheat code for this is, you know, you just got to look at the draft, you know, who's having to be replaced. And I think I did a pretty good job with that. A lot of playmakers on my roster.
With my team, I started with Tyrion Ingram Dawkins in the front seven, Ellis Robinson, defensive back, London Humphreys at wide receiver, Monroe Freeling at offensive line, Joseph Jonah Ajayi in the front seven, Andrew Paul at running back, and Pierce Sperling at tight end. I feel pretty good about my team. I will say that I was kind of upset that I sort of panicked with that first pick, and I really wish I would have gone and got Lawson Lucky. I think that's a really good tight end pick. But I like my team. I'm really curious how this vote goes, but really excited about the amount of talent we got in. And the thing about this class, guys, a lot of high character kids. I couldn't complain. We you know, best grades we've ever had on a team. They are set to be really special in Athens.
Yeah, kind of easy to accomplish that when you have a lot of a freshman on your roster. I mean, there's a lot of grades aren't even in yet on these guys. So congrats to a lot of these guys in their first semester of classes. You know, my son is entering his second, and you know, keep that GPA up as high as you can. Looking out for a lot of your guys that are still adjusting to that class schedule as they work through this spring.
We're going to wrap it up right there. I've actually about exhausted my laptop battery. So a good one to end on, but I'll say to make sure and look out on Twitter. We are going to put up a poll on Friday, and you can vote on who had the best team. Definitely excited to see how that vote goes. Make sure and go to dogs247.com, subscribe. I believe we still have a 30% off VIP sale going on. Go to YouTube, Dogs247, subscribe there. You've got all these episodes of the podcast. You've got Kirby Smart interviews and player interviews starting next week. And also go find us on TikTok, Dogs247. A lot of content coming out on there, and it's been a fun little experiment, that's for sure. So for Kip Adams and Ben Wolk, I'm Jordan Hill. Until next time, take care, everybody.